Acts chapter 22. Please turn to it. For a few moments at the end of our meeting, I want to draw your attention to Paul's defense of the faith before his own people. Last week, we considered the end of Paul's third missionary journey. And as we did so, we noticed the respect that Paul had for the oversight of the church at Jerusalem and how he reported back to them God's blessing among the Gentiles. Last Lord's Day, we finished off with the unbelieving Jews stirring up the people against the Apostle Paul in the city of Jerusalem. As we take up our studies again today, I want us to return to this theme of Paul standing before the angry mob. In Acts chapter 22, we have Paul seeking to defend the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as he stands before the Jewish people. In order to make them sit up and listen to what he had to say, Paul began to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue, the Hebrew language. Look at chapter 21 and verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood in the stirs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. And then look at chapter 22 and verse 2. It says, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. While Paul here is seeking to defend the truth of the gospel, he also wants, I believe, to win his countrymen to Christ. We've already noticed in the course of these studies the great burden that the Apostle Paul had to win his countrymen to the Savior. And I believe here, as he stands defending the truth of the gospel, is no different. While Paul is certainly defending the truth, he wants to win his countrymen to the Savior. Paul in this chapter gives his testimony. And in giving his testimony, he exalts and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ again as the only Savior of the world. As Paul seeks to defend the gospel before the Jewish people at Jerusalem at this time, he sets before them very simply a number of scriptural truths. And that's what I want us to look at today at the end of our meeting. Very simply today, I want us to consider these simple gospel truths that the Apostle Paul sets before the people at Jerusalem on this occasion. First of all, I want you to notice that religion in itself cannot save a soul. That's the first scriptural truth that I believe the Apostle Paul sets forth here as he speaks to the Jews at Jerusalem. We have that, I believe, in verses 1 to 5. The people, of course, that Paul was speaking to, they were a very religious people. They were devoted to Judaism. And they did not know God, the God of heaven, through Jesus Christ. And that was the sad fact. Although they were full of religion, they knew nothing of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the Apostle Paul begins to speak to them, Paul tells them that before he was saved, that he was just like them, full of religion. At the end of verse 3, underline it, it says, and I was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Underline those words. And of course, before Paul was converted, there was no one as zealous and as religious as he was. Consider how religious Paul was before he was saved, because he lets us know here, he tells us. First of all, he was born into a strict Orthodox Jewish family. Look at verse 3 again. Paul said this, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul had a religious pedigree that no one could match. And that's brought out very clearly here as Paul gives his testimony. Indeed, if you keep your hand in Acts chapter 22 and turn over to the book of Philippians for a moment, We'll read these words from verses 4 to 6. And again, you ought to underline them in your Bible, but it shows us how religious Paul was before he became a Christian. Philippians 3 verse 4 says, Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So here we have the apostle's pedigree as far as his religion was concerned before he was saved. So he was brought up in a strict Orthodox Jewish family. Also, take a look at Acts 22 again and look at verse 3 again, and you will see that he was taught the Jewish religion from his earliest days. It says here, indeed Paul says, that he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. In other words, Paul was taught according to the perfect manner of the law. He knew the Old Testament scriptures right from his earliest days, right from his childhood. Take a look at verse 3 again, and you'll see he was devoted in carrying out his religious beliefs with great zeal. It says at the latter part of that verse, and I was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. Therefore, Paul's religion was not a sham to him. Paul, before he was converted, took his religion of Judaism very, very seriously. Paul gave himself wholeheartedly to the pursuit of his religious profession, to the extent that he persecuted those who followed Christ. And of course, we know this. We have seen this even in these studies. But look what Paul says in verses 4 and 5 as he gives his testimony. And I persecuted this way, that's the Christians, unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So you can see here very clearly that before Paul was converted, he was full of religion. And yet the sad tragedy was this. With all his religion and with all his zeal, Paul was still on his way to hell because with all his religion, he did not know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew nothing of a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And here Paul comes to emphasize this scriptural truth that religion in itself cannot save a soul. And that's what Paul was emphasizing here as he gave his pedigree before he was converted. He was emphasizing to the Jews here, he was letting the Jews know that their Judaism was not enough to save them and to get them into heaven. And men and women, that's the truth still today. Religion will not save your soul. Good works will not prepare you for heaven. Coming to church will not make you ready for glory. Now, this truth is emphasized from this pulpit time and time again. Every time indeed we preach the gospel, this truth is emphasized, and it must continually be emphasized. What a privilege it is to come to a church where the gospel is preached, where the gospel goes forth. And it's wonderful to be able to bring our children up in the things of God and to teach them from their earliest days that religion will never save. Salvation is found only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's what the apostle here is going to emphasize. So it is. But you know, the sad thing is that there are men and women sitting in churches today in Ulster And that's exactly what they're taught. They're taught that their religion will get them into heaven, that their good works will save them. My friend, if you and I ever want to enter heaven, if we ever want to get into glory, if we ever want to have our sins forgiven, then it will not be on the basis of our religious practices, but it will be by faith alone in Jesus Christ the Savior. And here as Paul stood before the Jews at Jerusalem, this angry mob who he had silenced after he had started to speak to them in the Hebrew language, that's what he told them. That's what he emphasized to them. Now, he wasn't going to be popular when he preached this message. And of course, it's the same today. When we preach that salvation is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, when we preach the truth of the gospel today, it is not a popular message. Men want to hold on to religion. They want to do something in order to get into heaven. But my friend, salvation is by grace alone. Indeed, that's the second thing I want you to see here. I want you to notice the second scriptural truth here that Paul emphasizes as he speaks to the Jews at Jerusalem on this occasion. Secondly, salvation from start to finish is of God. Is of God. And Paul here emphasizes this truth from verses 6 to 21 of Acts chapter 22. As Paul speaks here to his own countrymen at Jerusalem in this chapter, he tells them of what changed his life forever. What did change Paul's life forever? When we think of the life of Paul, we think of his life before he was saved, how full of religion he was, how zealous he was for Judaism. And then we consider this tremendous change that took place in his life and how he served the Lord and saw many precious souls saved right to the day he went home to glory. What changed his life forever? Well, one thing and one thing only. The grace of God in Christ. The mercy of God in Christ. The love of God in Christ. The goodness of God in Christ. You see, the truth is this. From start to finish, God's salvation is of God and God alone. Paul ascribes his salvation to God's grace in the Lord Jesus. Indeed, Paul said on one occasion, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." I want you very simply to notice three things about Paul's salvation in Christ here, and as he gives this defense of the gospel in chapter 22. Notice, first of all, that God intervened in Paul's life and saved him. It was God that intervened. Look at verse 6, and you read these words, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." Round about me. Paul here is testifying that as he made his way to Damascus, as a persecutor of God's people, all of a sudden something happened. What happened? God stepped into his life. God intervened in his life. And the truth is this, that if God had not intervened, then Saul of Tarsus would never have been saved and born again of the Spirit of God. My friend, let me say to you today, if you're found in this house unsaved, unless God intervenes into your life, you'll never be saved. The truth is, God stepped into Paul's life and confronted him with his sin and his great need of salvation. And that's what God needs to do today to you. If you're found in God's house and you're still outside of Christ, all of us who are saved today, we can testify to that. That there was a day when we were saved. But what happened that day? Simply this. God intervened. God stepped in. We were on our mad career to hell. We wanted nothing to do with the gospel. We were godless. Oh, maybe some of us were full of religion, like the Apostle Paul was before he was converted. But we still did not know God through Jesus Christ, and we were still lost until God intervened. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here to the Jews at Jerusalem. He's emphasizing that salvation from start to finish is of God, and that unless the God of heaven steps in and reveals unto sinners that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the only Savior, then they'll never be saved. Look at verse 10 and you'll notice something else. God made Paul willing to do his will. Look what it says. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Now, we all know before this, Paul wanted his own will. He wanted to go his own way. But the day Paul was converted, his desires changed. From that day, Paul's only desire was to do the will of God and walk in the path of righteousness. And it was God stepping into his life that gave him this desire of wanting to do the will of God. The God of heaven made Paul willing to do his will. And then when you read from verses 17 to 21, we're not going to take the time to read all those verses again, but you take the time to read them when you go home, you will notice that God continued to lead and guide Paul in his life after he became a Christian. And we have seen that even in the course of these studies, as we have looked at the life of the Apostle Paul from he was converted, how the Lord has led him and guided him, even right up to this point where we're reading about today in Acts chapter 22. Child of God, what does all this teach us? It teaches us very simply what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian means to be saved by God's grace and to walk in his way day by day, submitting ourselves to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Christians are men and women whose lives are ruled and guided by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in accordance with the Word of God. Christians are those who have been saved and changed by the power of God and by the power of God alone. And Christians are those whom God has given a desire to walk in newness of life. It was the Lord that changed Paul's life. It was the Lord and the Lord only that changed Saul of Tarsus into from a wicked persecutor to a preacher of the gospel. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here as he speaks to the Jews. Not only is he showing them that religion will never save them, that their devotion to their religion will never get them into heaven, but he's revealing unto them that if they're ever going to be saved, then God is going to have to step into their lives and change them for time and for eternity. My friend, here's the question today. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you a desire to obey the Word of God as it is revealed in the Bible? Have you a desire to walk on, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God day by day? Has God intervened in your life? Has God given you desires to walk after him and to do his will? And of course, when we speak about doing the will of God, we're speaking about doing the will of God as it is revealed in the Scriptures of truth. Because it is the Scriptures of truth that is our rule of faith and practice day by day. Is God guiding you day by day? Are you walking in his truth? So I pray that if God, the God of heaven, has never intervened in your life, that even today that he would. That he would step in. That he would reveal unto you your great need of God's wonderful and eternal salvation. And child of God, those of us who are saved, those of us that the Lord has changed and redeemed, let us ever praise the Lord for the day in our lives when God did step in and when God did challenge us and redeem us, when he did intervene. Because we can all testify today that our lives have never been the same again. never been the same again. Now, notice something else here. There's another scriptural truth I want you to notice. I want you to take a look at verse 22. But I want you to notice, thirdly, that the gospel of Christ is an offense to unregenerate men. This is a scriptural truth. Look what it says in verse 22. And they give him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. As Paul preached his message of salvation in Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, the people became enraged. They wanted Paul's blood. They would not accept God's way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what Paul was emphasizing here. Now the woman, unregenerate man, always wants to do something for his salvation. And his human heart will always resist the gospel of Christ until God speaks to him and draws him to faith in Jesus Christ. And what we have here, as Paul defends the gospel before the Jewish people at Jerusalem at this time, what we have here is we have men whose hearts are unregenerate and who are resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 22 for a moment and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and consider what Paul said. He's coming here to speak about the gospel and about men's attitudes to the gospel. And he emphasizes the hearts of unregenerate men. Look what it says in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 1. For the Jews, they require a sign. They require a sign. If they're going to believe, they need to see a sign. And the Greeks, oh, they seek after wisdom. Surely it can't be this simple. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Underline it. That's what's happening in Acts chapter 22 as Paul presents the gospel to them. The gospel of Christ, Christ crucified, is a stumbling block to the Jews, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Underline verse 24, unto them which are called. Unto them which are called. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Matthew 11, verse 6, we read these words. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In Matthew 13, verse 57, it says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. They were offended in him. Mark 6 verse 3 says, is not this the carpenter's son, speaking of Christ, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. The natural heart will always be offended. Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's why, child of God, we need to pray that God will come and intervene in the lives of men. Turn over to Acts or Romans chapter 9 for a moment, and you'll see this again. Paul again speaking. He's coming to speak about the unregenerate man and the reaction of the unregenerate heart to the gospel of Christ. Verse 31 down to verse 33. But Israel, Romans 9, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, and as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled, underline it, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The problem is, sinful men do not want Jesus Christ to rule in their lives. Christ is the stumbling stone. Christ is the rock of offense. Sinners do not want the cross and what that cross entails. What does the cross entail? What does following Christ entail? It entails repentance. It entails a forsaking of sin. It entails a forsaking of the world. It entails reproach. It entails walking a narrow way. And the worldly man wants nothing to do with such a life. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The unbelieving Jews at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 22 rejected the gospel that Paul preached. They rejected the message and they rejected the messenger. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no hope for eternity. The sad reality is the unbelieving Jews at Jerusalem wanted nothing to do with Christ, nor his gospel. My friend, I wonder today as we're gathered in God's house at the end of another service, is your heart still hard against the gospel? Oh, you must come and by faith. Salvation is by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. And that's why it is so important for you and I to yield ourselves to the Word of God and to the teaching of Christ. Turn over to John chapter 3, and with the reading of this portion of Scripture, we're finished. Look what we read here, these familiar words, but they emphasize to us that faith in Christ is the only way of salvation. And that's what the Apostle Paul was emphasizing as he drew the Jews' attention to these scriptural truths and these scriptural principles. Look what it says in verse 15 of John 3. Whosoever believeth, that's faith in him, that's Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth, that's faith on him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness. Here's the unregenerate heart. Men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Because the Jews rejected Christ as the Messiah, because these unbelieving Jews at Jerusalem would not accept the message of the gospel that Paul was preaching, they became hostile towards anything to do with Jesus Christ, the Savior. Oh, my friend, it's still the same today. When you tell someone you believe the Bible, they look at you and they laugh at you. When you tell someone that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, they look at you and they laugh at you. Because man's heart is unregenerate. Man, in his natural state, wants to do something in order to gain admittance to heaven and make himself acceptable with God. But my friend, the truth is we can do nothing. We can do nothing, only accept God's way. Accept God's Christ. Accept God's sacrifice. And come the way of the cross. And the unbelieving Jews were not willing to do that. Thus, their hatred was turned against Paul. And only for the Roman authorities intervening, he would have been killed. And his life would have been taken that very day. Oh, I pray in these days in which we live, that we'll not be ashamed, child of God, of the gospel of Christ. But sinner, I pray that you will not be ashamed of him today, that you will come and trust him and accept him as your Savior. Let's all pray. Lord.